welcome to another episode of the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. I'm Jessica Dahlquist, your host, and every Tuesday I interview a different mom who shares their motherhood journey and the lessons they've learned along the way. If I've learned anything from interviewing such a wide range of moms, it's that no two extraordinary moms look the same. We all have a story to tell, and we are all mothering in our own way. So let's celebrate that and learn from one another. Thanks for listening, and if you like what you hear, please share the show with a friend. Today I'm speaking with Shay Scholl. Shay is known online as Mix and Match Mama. She's a blogger. She's a cookbook author. I've been following her online in social media world for quite some time now, and I've just been so impressed with her enthusiasm for motherhood. She's a total of 4 children and just recently brought home their 4th through adoption, and so I'm excited to hear about that journey for their family and to hear all about her motherhood journey. She is a true delight, such a positive spirit, and I know that you're going to love getting to know Shay today. So let's get to it. All right, I want to welcome Shay Scholl to the show. Hi, Shay.
Hi, Jessica. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great.
Good. Where am I speaking to you from today?
I am at home in McKinney, Texas.
Awesome. That's great. What part of Texas is McKinney? I don't even know.
It's in North Texas.
Oh, okay.
So we are about 20 minutes north of Dallas.
Okay. That's awesome. Have you always lived there?
I grew up in the Dallas area.
Okay.
Yeah, I've lived here my whole life.
Well, I am just so excited. I've been following you online for some time, and I just think you have the most darling family, and you just exude just a joy of motherhood. And that's what we're all about on this podcast, just celebrating motherhood and sharing the hard parts, but as well as recognizing what a joy it is to be in this role. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And I appreciate you recognizing that because I do love being a mom. It's my favorite thing in the world. So
that's
I'm
so great.
Very happy that you can see that through my website
It's working for you. It's working for you. So why don't you give the listeners who may not know you quite as well a little background on yourself and a little insight into your motherhood journey?
Yeah, well, I started out like a lot of newly married couples and thought, you know what, we're ready to have a family. And my husband and I started trying, and it just wasn't working, and we did all this infertility, and that wasn't working, and so we just really defeated, and it was about a 2-year process, and over the holidays, we just decided, you know what, we're done with the fertility procedures, we're done with the drugs, we're just going to take a break and enjoy the holidays. And so after Christmas in January, I went to do IVF, and we realized that I was actually pregnant. So my journey started rocky, and it was prayed for so much. And so 9 months later, I had a beautiful little girl. And then 6 months later, God thought he would be really funny. And I got pregnant with another baby, and I had a little boy, and they were 16 months apart. And there are 2 little miracle babies, and felt so blessed. And I just really kind of thought, like, this is it. Like, I have my 2 kids that I just wanted more than anything. And then when my kids were 1 and 2 at church, I was there on Orphan Sunday, and I heard the message about these kids all over the world that don't have parents, that don't have families, and I was just so touched, and I knew, like, I just knew in my heart I was supposed to be a mom to an orphan. Mm. And so my husband and I prayed a lot about that, and almost 2 years ago, it'll be 2 years in January, we adopted a precious little girl from China, and her name is Ashby. She's 4 and a half now. And then we decided to go back and do it again, and this past September, we adopted another precious little girl from China. Her name is Maidley, and she just turned 2. So now I'm a mom of 4.
Wow.
And so that's a little bit about me and motherhood.
That's amazing. So it sounds super easy in that concise little version. Tell
yeah,
me.
It was a 10-year journey.
Yeah.
That took me through fertility. It took me to being a mom of 2 very small kids at one time. And then the adoptions of both of our girls were 18 months apiece. So it was almost 4 years of trying to adopt these 2 little girls. So, yeah, it was a very long process, and I'm very happy and blessed to be on this side of it.
Right.
But yeah, it shaped who I am as a mom, most definitely.
Yeah. How did those initial struggles with infertility and then having 2 very young children, which is very difficult back to back, and just the logistics of that, how did that impact the way you viewed motherhood and kind of just the way that you evolved as a person and as a woman?
Well, I feel like I was one of those little girls that always knew that she wanted to grow up and be a mom. And mm-hmm. I always knew I wanted to be a mom. And I I don't know what it would have been like if I would have gotten pregnant easily, but after trying for so long and finally getting my baby, I just really, really made me appreciate being a mom, I think even more than if I would have gotten pregnant easily. It just put it into perspective what a gift it is and how not in control being a parent is to us, how it's all in God's hand. And then having two young kids was quite humbling, yeah. But it was, you know what, it was, I wouldn't do it any other way. Yeah. It was, it happened so fast. Right now they're at school, they're in first and second grade, and I would give anything to go back to when they were two babies. And even though it was hard and I was tired, it was wonderful, and I miss it. And so I would say if you're a mom at home with two young kids and it just feels exhausting, I just promise you one of these days you will think, gosh, I wish I could go back to it. So
yeah, in the thick of it, I have three kids under age six right now. So I only have one in full-time school right now. And it seems like there are some days where I wish I could get more done, and I'm kind of wishing for that time when they are away at school. But I know that, it's going to come quickly, and then I'm going to want to go back to those. I mean, it's just so few years that you have with them full time.
Absolutely. That baby that I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for, I mean, she's eight now and in second grade, and wow. You know, it just went by in the blink of an eye. So, I really try to just appreciate and enjoy each and every day, because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. So you might as well make today the best day that you can.
What were your favorite parts of early motherhood, and what was most challenging for you or surprising?
Most surprising to me was, I know it sounds so cliche. I was tired.
Yeah.
people tell you you're going to be tired, but until you experience it, you don't even understand that kind of tired. So that surprised me. It surprised me that my baby didn't just lay around and sleep. That really surprised me. My second one did. I always think he was my favorite baby because he did. He was always content, always happy. You could hold him. You could lay him down. You could put him in his car seat. But my first one, she was high-maintenance baby, and that surprised me. I thought they would sleep more. I thought I could put them down more, and I could not put her down. So that surprised me.
Yeah. I had a really hard first as well, and it made me think, like, how will I ever add another baby? Like, I can't keep doing this. He doesn't let me sit down ever. But, you know, you do it, and then you forget, and, you know, it's blissful amnesia. But still, can be so challenging, even when it's great. It's, like, still so hard.
Absolutely.
So what made you – so you were at church, and you wanted to pursue international adoption. Yes. And is there a certain reason you went with China? Or tell me about that experience as you went down that road.
Yeah, well, I mean – we prayed about it, and we are very much people of faith, and we were open to any sort of adoption. We just felt that the Lord was done with us having biological kids and was really pushing our hearts to adopt, and we were open. We had a boy, we had a girl, so we were open to any nationality, any gender, any age, but just over years and a lot of prayer, God really just opened our eyes to these precious girls in China that are very neglected, and there's so many of them. There's about 150 million orphans in the world, and almost a third of them are Chinese girls. So it's just this massive number, millions of these little Chinese girls that just have very little hope, and we were just drawn to them, and that's, you know, what led us there. And then once we made the decision to adopt a little girl from China, the process both times took a year and a half, and so they were long processes, but now it's kind of like childbirth. While you're in the thick of it, it's very long, but then after, you're like, oh, that was a bad
year. Right.
So, you know, we even though we're just barely 10 weeks on the other side of this adoption, it seems like it went by fast.
Right.
It took a year and a half each time.
Right. Yeah, it's so funny how your perspective on time changes based upon like where you are in the journey, right? You
want to
savor the joyous moments, but somehow the suffering and the waiting feels like an eternity.
Yeah.
Oh, exactly. Tell me about meeting Ashby for the first time. Did you have pictures of her ahead of time, or what was that connection like?
Yeah, it was very interesting. It was a little different for both girls. For Ashby, we received three little photographs of her, and that was it. And so we had very little, we had information on her, we had medical records on her, but as far as, like, photographs, we only had about three, and we did not have any video of her whatsoever. And it's a very weird experience because you go over there to China and then you wake up the morning that you're going to meet your child. And for her, they like put us in a car and they drove us to this civic center. And we went inside and we just sat there on a bench and waited a few minutes. And they brought in this, just this little girl, and she was 2.5, and
wow,
she had so many layers of clothing on, and she was screaming hysterically, and it was kind of like when they hand you your new baby that just, you know, came out of your stomach. It's, they're crying, they're bewildered, you are in awe. It's just wow, it's a really just magical almost experience. And so we bonded really, really quickly, and Ashby bonded with me, and then my husband and our other two kids. And she could not be more my daughter than if I would have given birth to her myself. I mean, she is like one of my favorite people in the whole world. Oh. And yeah, I just, it's really neat. And then for Madeley, when we just got her, September 11th, we got her, we waited in our hotel room. Her orphanage did it that way. And they just knocked on our hotel room door. And there were two women from the orphanage there holding.
No way.
Holding this little girl. And they're like, you know, they hand her to me like, here you go. I mean, it's very surreal. I mean, you know, you get the knock and then your life changes, their
forever
life changes. You always have to keep in mind that it's a wonderful, wonderful day for us, but it's a very sad day for these kids because even though we know their lives are going to improve not living in an orphanage, they grieve because that's the only home, the only life that they've ever known.
Wow.
And so it's a very emotional. Yeah.
What did you do to help the girls? I mean, so Madeley was how old when you got her?
She was 20, almost 23 months. Okay. So she was almost two. She was almost two.
So they were kind of similar in age. But was there anything that you could do to help them to process that grief and that transition?
I mean, for us, for both girls, they attached very well. And that doesn't always happen. Mm-hmm. But for our girls, they really do. And I think some of the things that we maybe did, one, we're very particular about, we didn't let other people hold them, not even our family. My own mom didn't hold either one of them until we'd had them like 8 weeks. I mean, it had been a long time. And, just because we want to be the ones that hold them, that feed them, that change their diapers to meet all of their needs so that they realize that we're the ones that are taking care of them.
Yeah. Interesting.
And, yeah. And, so just, you know, it's very overwhelming when they hand you for us, a two-year-old, and you start to think like, oh my gosh, I mean, she doesn't know that I'm her mom. She doesn't know English. She doesn't know her colors or how to count. She's never seen a dog. You know, I mean, there's so many things that you can go crazy trying to think about all the things that you need to do to make them feel at home, but you just love on them. It starts with love, and the rest of it I've learned just kind of comes after that.
Yeah, and how did the older kids adjust being instant, you know, siblings to not a newborn?
My big kids are amazing. Aww. And I said this a lot the first time around. We prayed so much about adopting and about getting Ashby, and I did not pray enough for my older kids, but God went ahead and met that need anyway because their hearts have been just made right by the Lord to be siblings to an adopted child. And they just have done an amazing job. And now these are their two little sisters and they love them and they gush over them, but they also get on their nerves. And it's just like this.
Typical.
Yeah. To them. It's just normal little sister stuff. And I'm just very, very proud of my two kids and the way that they've handled this because it's been a journey for our whole family.
Right. All kids have to adjust, whether it's through adoption or biologically, like that transition is going to happen either way. And some kids aren't going to deal as well and some will transition beautifully and you don't really know which way it's going to go, but you can just, you know, hope that they have the tools and the love and support they need to make that transition. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. So tell me about your cooking and your blog and how you became a cookbook author. How did that all unfold for you?
So I have been cooking since I was really young, since I was about my daughter's age in the second grade. And then the older I got, the more I enjoyed cooking. And my mom kind of got out of the way in the kitchen and I would tell her what I wanted from the grocery store and she would buy the groceries and I would make dinner for my family.
Wow.
So food has always been just something I've loved to work with. And I received a degree in journalism, but after college I went into the insurance industry, but I decided after a few years that I needed a creative outlet, so I started a lifestyle blog, and it was really about nothing. Mm-hmm. It just gave me a reason to put up some pictures and to talk a little bit about things that were going on, and then I started having kids, and that gave me things to blog about, and it just was a really nice hobby for me. And one day I started talking more about food to my friends, and I was making this bun cake that my friend Rachel made all the time, and I started tweaking the recipe, and my friends liked it, and my friend Rachel was like, how many, you know, variations of this one bun cake do you think that you could make? And I joked and said, I bet I could make about 100. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to incorporate food on my blog, and I did this bun cake 101 times, and along the way, I realized that, like, women liked this bun cake recipe because it was easy. You didn't have to look at a long recipe. There wasn't a lot of ingredients. It wasn't expensive to make, and it always turned out. And I thought, you know, that concept, that principle, you could apply it to a lot of other recipes. Mm-hmm. You know, we kind of make the same things every night as moms. You know, we make tacos and spaghetti, and we make sloppy joes, and we make the same things for the same reasons. You don't have to look at the recipe. They're not expensive. They're quick. They're easy. Your family always likes it. So I took the concept of mixing and matching this bun cake and applied it to all food. And so now I just post daily on my website. I post recipes, and they're always easy. They're always recipes that your whole family is going to like.
Yeah.
You know, and they're not complicated. And I think that that's what, you know, busy women, they like. And I hear from women of all ages, you know, retired women, they love to make it for them and their husbands, and new cooks and newlyweds, and, you know, single girls that are just making dinner for themselves, and they're, you know, portioning it out to eat later in the week. And, you know, I just really enjoy food. And so, you know, over the last 5 years, writing recipes, putting it on my website, that has turned into me getting to be a part of some really cool things and being featured on some neat shows and doing some television stuff and ultimately getting to write some cookbooks. And I've written 5 now.
That is crazy.
Yeah, you can buy Cakes. It's actually a book about 101 bun cakes. It's my all of my those cakes. I put them in a book. It's called Cakes. I have a book called Meal Planner, where I lay out meals for all 4 seasons. And so it actually has a grocery list. So you can actually take the book to the grocery store and check off the list of things that you need, and you can buy food for the week, and it's laid out as a meal planner.
Love it.
And then my newest book is called Eats, and it's a comprehensive cookbook. It's 12 chapters. Each chapter is the month of the year, so it's January through December. So like right now I would flip open the December page, and there are entrees, desserts, some breakfast recipes in there, and they're all seasonal, and they all pertain to whatever month that we're in.
I just love this concept of simple recipes, because you're right, you've hit the target market for moms and busy women who just want simple things, and they don't need elaborate gourmet meals necessarily. It's fun to try those every now and again.
Yeah, sure.
But those staples that you can just tweak and make it a little different, a little more interesting, is fabulous. What's the favorite bunch that you've made? Like, can you, like, hone in on, like, what is your favorite recipe that you came up with?
Well, I mean, it's like asking me to pick my favorite child. But my personal favorite bundt cake is the pumpkin spice latte one. And that's because I will eat anything with the word pumpkin in it.
There you go.
And it is, like, my love language. So pumpkin spice latte is my favorite. I love all of them, I need to say that.
Yeah.
But I'm a real sucker for lemon. The lemon one is so good. My husband's favorite is the Bananas Foster.
Mm.
I have every kind that you could imagine, from red velvet to peppermint to pecan pie, German chocolate. I mean, the list goes on. I have one with Fruity Pebbles in it. I mean,
wow.
I have 101 bun cake recipes.
Yeah, there's something for everybody.
Yeah.
So has there ever been one where you're like, this is disgusting? Like, what's your biggest food fail?
I do sometimes have a food fail. It doesn't happen very often. And part of why it doesn't happen very often is because I'm making real practical recipes.
Right.
You know, I'm not reinventing the wheel. I am really just trying to help and encourage mamas to make dinner on those busy Monday nights in between homework and soccer practice and laundry and stuff like that. So I don't have a lot of food fails because I'm not trying to make things that are going to food fail, you know,
mm-hmm.
because I'm
mm-hmm.
trying to make more practical things. But I did try to go outside the box a little bit and make a Moroccan dish for my family, and they were quite emphatic that cinnamon does not belong in an entree. I thought it was good, but they were not a fan because, you know, the Moroccan dish had a little cinnamon in there.
Yeah.
They did not enjoy that in their main course. So things like that. And sometimes when I bake, you know, that's more of an art form with measuring and being exact. And so I'll make a bread. And sometimes I have to tweak the recipe, you know, two or three times to make sure that it doesn't fall or anything like that. So, yeah, I get to be in the kitchen every day. And so I just love that.
That's so great. I think why I love your story is that it went from just being a hobby and a passion of yours to really becoming something that you probably wouldn't have predicted. But, I mean, you've probably really enjoyed this ride and all the opportunities that have come about.
And I don't know how long this will go on, but again, I just take it one day at a time. And every day I get to get up and I get to do something that is fun, and I will appreciate it as long as I get the opportunity.
That's so fun. What is your favorite, like, thing on TV that you've done?
Well, I mean, I've gotten to do several things that are really neat. I mean, I must say, my brother was The Bachelor on ABC, so I was on 7 episodes between The Bachelorette and The Bachelor, and including their wedding, and that was just fun.
That's fun.
Insane. But, you know, this year I've been on The Today Show twice, and that has been great. I was on Paula Deen's network, and she was fantastic. So I've just really gotten to meet some really nice people and share my love of food with them, and I just really enjoy that.
Yeah. What would surprise you most if you went back 10 years and then showed yourself your life now? What would surprise you the most out of everything?
That it's pretty much the same. Huh. Really and truly. Huh. Yeah, I mean, 10 years, I have a bunch of kids now. It would surprise me that I have 4 kids. It still surprises me when I wake up sometimes that I have 4 kids.
Yeah.
But really, my life is really about the same. I love my husband. I like hanging out with my family. I have the same set of girlfriends. You know, I'm right now, it's the afternoon and I'm at home in my house shoes. So I enjoy that. It really is consistent and it's the same. And I get to do some cool things, you know, every now and again, but I come home and it's the same thing that I just love. And I am so glad.
I'm really surprised by the answer and it's really refreshing. I love that response, Shay. It just shows your true character. Like, it's not about, you know, getting to the next level, and it's not about the popularity of the cookbook or about the cool opportunities. It's just about doing what you love, and you're a family person first and foremost.
Oh, most definitely I am. And being at home with my family is my favorite thing. I'll go pick up my kids here in an hour from school, and that's the best part of my day.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I love that. Is there anything coming up in the near future that we should be looking for you?
Well, this spring, I have a new book coming out called Kids in the Kitchen, and it's just a book that's hopefully going to encourage and motivate you to get in the kitchen with your kiddos, because I'm a big believer in the more your kids cook with you, then the more they eat, the more diversity will be in their diet, and so I'm excited about that, and I get to go promote it and do some fun things and cook with some fun people in the spring, so I'm excited about that.
That would be awesome.
I'm really looking forward to 2017, because you know, it'll be the first year in about 4 years we haven't been either about to adopt a baby or in the process of adopting a baby. It's just going to be a year of being still and being at home with my family, with my husband and my kids. And I am just really excited about that.
I love that. Yeah, sometimes it's not about moving forward in a lot of ways. Sometimes it's just about enjoying what you have. And I think it's easy to get caught up in that. So for a mom that might feel like, I just don't have enough time to pursue my passions or exercise or cook dinner for my family, you have 4 kids. You're able to do it. Do you have like a tip or takeaway that really helps you to make time for the things that mean the most to you, like cooking for your family or doing those types of things?
Yes. Discipline. And that's what I would say, because I am very disciplined and I'm very organized, and it's because I'm those two things that I am able to accomplish a lot. I also own a travel agency in all my spare time.
Okay, there you go.
I do. I own a travel agency, and I blog and I write cookbooks, and there's nothing wrong with having a nanny or help. I just don't have one because at this point in my life, I don't feel like I need one, so I don't have one.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm able to do all of that, and I think it's because I am extremely disciplined with my day. I wake up very early. I woke up at 4:10 this morning, and
wow.
I'll go to bed about 10 tonight, but every minute of my day is just very thought out and disciplined. I really try to keep it that way so that I can do what I need to do so that at 3 o'clock when I wake up my little girls from a nap and we go pick up my big kids from school, I am done working. I don't look at my computer. I don't answer email. I'm done working and I can focus on my family for the rest of the night. So I did, I went to the gym this morning and, after I dropped my big kids off at school. And again, it's just being very disciplined. Now that makes me not a whole lot of fun sometimes when my girlfriends call and they're like, hey, let's go do this. And I'm like, I can't. Even you, poor Jessica, you're like, hey, can I talk to you on the phone? And I'm like, yes, but here's your window because I have to be disciplined.
Right. With my, no, totally.
With my schedule and with my calendar. If I want to do what I want to do, but also be able to turn it off and just be a mom and a wife.
Yeah.
So, am I tired? Yes, I'm always tired. Not exhausted by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm tired because I wake up early,
right.
But I love it because I do that and it energizes me because by the time my kids wake up in the morning, I've already done so much and I feel accomplished.
Right.
And yeah, I've taken care of myself. And then I could take care of everybody else. So
totally. And I think there's a difference between jam packing and organizing your calendar so that it's so packed with stuff that you feel depleted versus organizing and disciplining yourself to make windows of time for the things that are most meaningful to you so that you can feel like a better person and a better mom and you are still filling your own bucket so that you can serve the other people in your family.
Yeah. I'm like the queen of saying no.
Okay.
If my mom is listening, she's agreeing because yes, I am the queen of saying no. And my family and my friends will tell you that I say no a lot so that I can say yes and really mean it when I do say yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't have an overpacked schedule. I do what's important to me and I try to do it really well. And, I allow myself to have time so that like today after 3, I'm done. I can
right.
go to the park with my kids. We can play outside before we do homework and make dinner. I don't like a jam-packed schedule. I like peace. My house, I feel like it's very peaceful and I don't like chaos. And, that's what makes me thrive. But a lot of that comes from just being disciplined. And that means waking up early on the weekends because there's things that need to be done before the little people all start waking up. And
right.
Yeah. And that's what I do.
And you've just figured out what really works for you.
Yes.
Like for some people, they value sleep over writing a cookbook. And that's fine. But you just have to do what works for you and not compare yourself against somebody else who may think like they're doing it right and I'm doing it wrong.
No. Absolutely. Yeah. You have to find, you know, your truth and live in it.
Yeah.
And my truth is that I'm a morning person, so I'm not productive at night. So I don't need to stay up late doing things. I'm way more productive if I just wake up early, have some coffee and get going, and then I can crash at 10. And, you just figure out the best you and do it. But I also always want to say too, you know, 7 years ago, I had 2 babies at home and I wasn't doing all of this stuff.
Right.
You know,
it is
slowly turned into this. But I was even disciplined back then with other things that I needed to get done. But, if you are a new mom and you're getting up 2 or 3 times a night feeding your baby, well, listen, when I was doing that, I was not writing books and I was not blogging. I was not wearing makeup and probably not deodorant either. So, you know, I mean, there's a season for everything. I'm in a season when I'm able to do this and who knows how long the season will last.
Yeah.
But I'll just transition to the next season when it's time.
And you'll just enjoy it while it lasts. I love that. Well, you're such a delight, Shay. This has been so fun chatting with you. I always ask guests one final question, and it's this. What would you tell your pre-motherhood self?
I would tell her to enjoy the time before motherhood because you're not going to get it back. Because once you're a mama, your heart, you know, it's like the old saying, your heart leaves your body and walks around with those little people that you have. So I would tell myself to enjoy it. I would also tell myself that it's going to work out because I know there's probably people listening that they've been trying to have a family for a long time. And the older I get, the more I realize how different family looks for each person. And, I just know in my heart that, you know, God has a plan and my plan and God's plans did not look the same when I was trying to start my family and before when I was trying to start the road to motherhood. But now looking back and I see what God's plan is, wow, I mean, I'm so glad that he moved me out of the way so that he could accomplish what he wanted to accomplish.
Yeah.
And so I would just say, take heart. I know God has a plan for you, and you may not understand it, but he does. And I just always think, like, when you look back, usually you could see how, even through the hardest times, God has worked in miraculous ways.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, that's beautiful. And it's like you wouldn't trade the life you have now for the hardships that got you here. You know, it's beautiful.
Absolutely.
It's a beautiful life.
Absolutely.
Shay, thank you so much for sharing about your motherhood journey on the podcast
today. Thank you.
And on the show notes, I'll link to every way that people can follow you at Mix and Match Mama online and on your blog. And they can definitely check out your cookbooks. And I'm excited for your spring and all the new stuff. That's
thank
really exciting.
You.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, I hope you have the best day. And just thanks for sharing.
I appreciate it, Jessica. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Isn't Shay just so delightful? She just has such a positive energy, and you may feel like, wow, she can do it all, but I can't. Because sometimes I look at people like that. It seems like they have, you know, a skill set that I don't have, or an energy I don't have, or they're a morning person more than I am. But you know what? I like what she said when she said, you do you. The best you that you can do, do that. Find out what works for you. Is it better for you to get more done in the evening or in the morning? What things really light you up, and what can you work on and carve out time for during the day so you can really be there for your family? I love all those tips, and I'm just so impressed with her message and her positivity in motherhood. That's just so much fun. So as always, you can find me on Instagram at JessicaDahlquist3 for more information on the podcast and any information that we talked about in the show, and for more links to how we can get to know Shay better and follow her journey is at extraordinarymomspodcast.com. Thanks for tuning in. If you want to share this podcast with a friend, it would mean so much to me. I love it when we have new people join our community, and it's just the best. So I hope everyone has an awesome day, and I'll see you next week for another episode with another Extraordinary Mom. Bye.